A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, the headland of Pisgah, which faces Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead, as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb, the circuit of the Jordan, with the lowlands at Jericho, city of palms, and as far as Zoar. The Lord then said to him, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that I would give to their descendants. I have let you feast your eyes upon it, but you shall not cross over." So there, in the land of Moab, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died as the Lord had said, and he was buried in the ravine opposite Beth Peor in the land of Moab. But to this day, no one knows the place of his burial. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were undimmed and his vigor unabated. For 30 days, the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab, till they had completed the period of grief and mourning for Moses. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, since Moses had laid his hands upon him. And so the children of Israel gave him their obedience, thus carrying out the Lord's command to Moses. Since then, no prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He had no equal in all the signs and wonders the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants, and against all his land. And for the might and the terrifying power that Moses exhibited in the sight of all Israel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed be God, who filled my soul with fire. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his glorious praise. Say to God, "How tremendous are your deeds." Come and see the works of God, his tremendous deeds among the children of Adam. Bless our God, you peoples. Loudly sound his praise. Hear now, all you who fear God, while I declare what he has done for me. When I appealed to him in words, praise was on the tip of my tongue.
Blessed be God, who filled my soul with
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Verbum Domini. Life here on earth is short, especially as we compare it to eternity with God. And today we learn a little bit about the shortness of our life from the reading in today's first reading from Deuteronomy, where we see Moses is now at the end of his life. And this was Moses' last day. And as we look into the life of Moses, you know, he's been revered for centuries. He was one of God's chosen ones, a prophet, the man who led God's people out of Egypt into the desert, ultimately on the way to the promised land. And so we think about our own lives and how will our last day be? Moses was with God on his last day. God took him up a high mountain. He listened and he walked, climbed, and there God showed him the promised land. He never entered the promised land, and then he passed. But you see, he was with God. Well, will we be with God on our last day? So now we look here a little deeper into this first reading from Deuteronomy. And as we were saying, you know, Moses was chosen by God to take the people into the promised land. Now, he would never go into the promised land. You know, Moses, obedient to God and faithful ultimately. If you look at the entirety of his life, he was faithful to God. Yeah, there were times where he may have been disobedient, you know, especially the incident with the rock. Oh, God then told him he would not enter into the promised land. But yet, overall, he was chosen by the Lord. He saw God, and he knew God. And it was through Moses that we received the law. And as we learn here is that here is this promised land that God has that God wants to give his chosen people. And when we think about our own lives, okay, Moses was with God when he died. Are we going to be with God? Now, one thing we know about Moses and what the Gospel of John tells us is that the law came through Moses. And this was something for centuries the Hebrew people observed or attempted to observe and, you know, tried to. And it says that the law came through Moses, but that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. See, we have something that those in the Old Testament don't have. We have Jesus. Jesus Christ the Lord, who has given us a promised land, but is not a place where we will see riches and there will be abundant fruits and treasures and things of that sort. You know, that's not what the promised land is. The true promised land is the inheritance we receive from Jesus Christ. And this comes through grace. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. And as we know, brothers and sisters, that we receive this grace first at baptism through the power and the coming and the washing of the Holy Spirit, God comes to dwell in us so that we may have a share in his life and to be in union with the Holy Trinity. And so as St. Paul affirms that God's love is poured into our hearts, and as Paul continues to say that we receive, from there we receive grace upon grace that God has always given to us. This grace, this divine favor from God, so that we can have a share in the life and the love of Jesus Christ. And this is how we are saved, through the grace of God. And yet this love, this power that has been given to us, is often forgotten. Many times as we go through our life living and striving to be Christ-like or observe the teachings of the church, we forget about this grace that God has given to us, that him who has called us to himself, that has given himself for us, that he's given us this power to share in his life, even in the threefold ministry of his mission as priest, prophet, and king. There's a lot right there. See, and that's why once we are baptized, we are called another Christ. See, and then from there is where we grow, where we have this transformative experience to become more like Jesus Christ. So there is so much here given to us. And it is good for us to think about this and meditate on what the Lord has truly given to us. Because those of us who are practicing the faith, you're receiving the sacraments frequently, you're learning the teachings of the church, the scriptures, you're praying, you've experienced grace in many forms, many ways. God has spoken to you, you've heard the promptings and the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. You know, you can look back on your life 5-10 years ago and see the transformation, the conversion. That is God's grace working in you. That is you becoming more Christ-like. Now, of course, we can cooperate with this grace more fully by staying away from sin, by keeping God first in our lives, in every area of our life. No, then of course, this process, it goes a little smoother. You know, we experience more of the life of the Lord. See, what happens at times, and when we're looking back here to the life of Moses, is that sometimes life will become a little dark or dry. And that is where we often lose hope. And that is what we see from the Israelites in what was supposed to be 40 days, but then 40 years, is that they got tired of waiting. You know, then they became unfaithful. They were looking at the conditions, the circumstances, instead of trusting in the Lord. And so what did they do? They sinned. And that's what happens to us at times. But yet, this is what we gotta return to, is grace. See, in this grace, then we look to Jesus. Because Jesus has already passed from this life. Jesus, who of course is fully God, fully man, divine person, but yet as man, he's passed through all the trials, all the sorrows of this life. And so he tells us that here he is, the way, the truth, and the life, that in following him, that in observing what he taught us, there is where we have life. There is where we persevere. And so all we have to do is when the times get hard, is to look at Jesus. And he had sorrow. He had hard times. You know, there were very troubling circumstances around him throughout his life. And then when we come to think about that, there is a victory. Because Jesus is showing us how to get things done. That even in the worst of trials, even in the dark of his life, in the dryness of his human life, he still loves. And that's where we need to go. Right there is in Jesus. Is that we still observe, we still follow him faithfully, even through whatever comes our way. And as we do this, as we go to Jesus, then we're truly with him. Know that when we think about the spiritual life, you know, we look at the great spiritual writers and everything they have, they give us a very detailed description about the processes of growing holier, ultimately coming into this consummation of wills between us and God, this union with him. You know, we see this in the life of the saints, especially St. Francis of Assisi, you know, having received the stigmata, having him entered into the love that Jesus had during his own passion. No, here he is in this. And as we look at these writings, they can be very quite complex. You know, it's just telling us what happens and the journey of how it goes. But when we really think about it, it can be quite simple. Because if we're going to true contemplative life, union with God, it is knowing that God is with us, that he is all around us, that he is within us. Remember, we become his own once we are baptized. Our soul is marked by him with an indelible mark. Remember, he's given us his grace, so he's always there. And then when whatever happens, we look to Jesus. And having this awareness, again, helps everything just go accordingly. It's a way to cooperate with the Lord's grace. And there is the victory. There is our true life. And as we practice a life with God, being aware of him, knowing what he's given to us, you know, being in prayer, then there we are. When our time comes, and we may not know when it happens, no one knows, then we're with God. And then on that day, we can go with God and enjoy eternal bliss with him for all eternity. God bless you all.